Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Borio's Restaurant. Very special, once a month, Adrian Autry of the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team is out here with me. Adrian's been fielding a lot of questions, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. You have some stuff on Twitter, Ask Adrian, I put out there tonight, so there's going to be a lot of questions out here for you. But we're happy for everybody that showed out tonight. Orange Madness, obviously, tomorrow. But the big question, let's get it out of the way, the overall broad scope question, how do the Syracuse Orange look right now?
Right now it's still early. And, you know, when you lose the type of talent that we lost from last year, then you bring in some new guys and some guys that were there last year that you get an opportunity to play. You know, it takes some time to gel, but I think the guys are working hard. I know the guys are working hard. The team is, you know, starting to gel. So, you know, I think it'll be one of those, you know, seasons where it may take a little bit of time, but I think eventually we'll all come together and we'll have an exciting team again.
And we look at two of the guys that are in, Caleb Joseph as well as Chris McCullough. Chris McCullough was a guy that you recruited and brought in here. We'll start with Caleb Joseph. I know he's not your guy in your room. He's with Jerry McNamara, point guard. But what can you say about Caleb and how he's looked in practice and how he's challenged some of the guys out there so far?
Caleb is doing very well. I think really exceeding anyone's expectations as a freshman. He's not playing like a freshman right now, practicing like a freshman. And Caleb is exciting. You know, he's a hard worker, very quick. He wants to be really good, and he's a good leader, and he's just doing an unbelievable job right now. But again, the real test will come once the season starts. Again, you know, we can see how he continues to improve, but I'm confident that he will. He's an unbelievable basketball player, and I think people will get a chance to see him, you know, go start tomorrow.
And with tomorrow being Orange Madness, obviously there's going to be a lot of things going on. Dunk contest, three-point contest, and there's going to be a Legends game. So bringing some of the old Syracuse players back to be with some of the current players, what would be the chance of getting you and Jerry McNamara out on the court for the Legends game tomorrow?
I can't answer for Jerry McNamara, but I can answer for me, none. But, you know, that'll be, I hope they have a lot of medical staff out there. Those things become dangerous sometimes, but it should be good. And I think with Lawrence Moten will be back, I think with John Wallace, and I know those guys, they still play. They come up and play with our guys sometimes, so they'll be ready to go.
So are you for or against maybe a future stint in this thing? Could you ever see yourself back out there? I know you challenged some of the guys, the forwards in practice. I know you go up against a couple of guys, but will we ever see you on a court again where these fans can cheer you on and you can don that jersey again?
They'll see me on a court, just not with a jersey on. I'll be over there with my suit on. I shoot with the guys. That's about it. You know, for me to get out there and try to keep up with these guys is—it's not even close. Now these guys are way bigger, way faster than I can even imagine right now. So, but it's fun though. Jerry McNamara can still play with those guys. He's probably our best player still right now.
And speaking of Jerry McNamara, obviously the three-point shootout contest that's going to be at Orange Madness. Trevor Cooney is the guy that I would think everybody leans toward in this game. But you have a guy in your room, in B.J. Johnson, who's also a pretty good shooter from outside. Who are you putting, if you had to put the nod to anybody in the three-point shooting contest, who would you go with?
I got to go with Trevor Cooney. Trevor Cooney is he can shoot the basketball. I think BJ is coming along nicely. You know, can't forget about Ron Patterson. Ron Patterson is a pretty good shooter as well. So you know, but Trevor right now, and even you know he's proven. So Trevor's proven. You know, we got to get BJ going, but he can shoot the ball. I think BJ will have a good year this year. And, you know, he'll add another element, you know, just, you know, not just Trevor. You know, him and Ron Patterson, I think, will have a chance to, you know, show people what they can do as well.
And outside of J. just Ron Patterson, Trevor Cooney, Caleb Joseph. There's another guard that transferred in from Monmouth. And what can you say about how he's challenged? I talked to Jerry McNamara a little bit about it, but when you're watching practice and there's five-on-five scrimmages, what have you seen from your Monmouth transfer? Obviously can't play this year, but how has he challenged Caleb Joseph a little bit?
Well, I think I think that's been a great experience for Caleb to go against Christian. Christian, you know, played at Monmouth. He's been in college for 2 or 3 years. So Caleb gets a chance to go against a very good college player day in and day out. You know, and Christian is tough, and Christian doesn't back down. And he's just been an absolute, you know, just great to have because of his experience and the way he plays. And to be honest with you, he's probably our best shooter right now in practice. You know, he knows how to play. He's good. He's a scrappy guy, and he really, you know, pushes Caleb, which is what Caleb needs.
You brought up the fact that BJ's could be something important to the team this year. Obviously, you lost some guys. No CJ Fair. No Mike. You know, Michael Carter Williams have been gone from before. Jeremy Grant. So the last couple seasons, there's been some of that talent that's gone out the door. What can you say about a guy like B.J. Johnson, who people haven't seen a lot of except for some of those early games in the season where he gets a couple minutes at the end? What can you say about him? Because he's your guy. You're obviously working with him every single day. How has B.J. either progressed or maybe gotten to a place where you can be happy with him right now? Where does he stand as far as you as a coach looking at him critically right now?
Well, I think, you know, it's very college basketball, especially at this level, is not easy. You know, BJ is one of those kids that is young for his age. He technically could still be in high school right now. So, you know, that maturity part of it and that physical maturity part is something that, you know, at the end of the day, it takes time to get to that. And I think he's worked hard to try to improve on that. But, you know, when you play with a Jeremy Grant and you play with a Tyler Ennis and a CJ Fair, he knows what it takes to be successful in college. He's had a chance to see it for a year and watch it. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, that he has gone for himself is that he knows what he has to do and how hard he has to work, you know, not just for 1 day or 2 days, but every single day. And that's what, you know, CJ and, you know, even James Sutherland and all those guys before, you know, when you get to that level, you know, that consistency is something that, you know, that separates you. And he's had a chance to see that. So I think that's the biggest thing that he's worked on so far. You know, his effort has been great. He's been consistent. And that's the only thing that's what you can ask for. Now he just has to be ready when his number's called to go out there and be able to play.
One of the questions that we have from Twitter tonight with Ask Adrian was exactly that, with how is B.J. Johnson progressing, but also Ron Patterson, and I know that he's with Jerry the majority of the time, but we talked a little bit about Ron. What can you say about Ron? Because we know he can shoot, but some of his passing when he was up in Canada, he had some trouble there and certain issues. Defense, he's been trying to improve. So what can you say about Ron Patterson to answer some of these questions we have on Twitter?
Well, I think the first thing that you notice about Ron Patterson, I know that I noticed, is that he dedicated himself to getting in better shape and changing his body this year. And I think that's really made a big difference in his game. You know, right now, you know, Ron is really playing well, you know, making better decisions. I think he's adjusted to college. I think he understands, again, people underestimate the adjustment that you got to make coming from high school to college when you have a full load of classes and you got to try to eat right and you got your academics and you got your basketball. It can be overwhelming at times. So I think sometimes these kids, you know, it takes time for them to adjust. But I think the one thing about Ron is that he's really committed. He really committed over the summer to change his body and get his body changed. And you can see the difference in his game right now. He's making better decisions. And he's playing more focused and longer stretches.
That coming from Syracuse men's basketball assistant coach Adrian Autry. Of course, I'm here with you, Dan Satora, with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Borio's Restaurant. We'll be here in just a couple minutes. We'll get back on the mic. But if you want to go ahead and pick up your Borio's card, card that is exclusive from Adrian and I tonight. Make sure you come up and grab your card to get you 10% off throughout the basketball season and the football season for Boreos. And if you have any questions for Adrian that you want to have us address here on the show when we come back, come up to us and put your question in, and we'll be happy to talk about it. We'll be back in just a few minutes here. Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, Boreos Restaurant.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Boreos Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Boreos Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Boreos Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary, or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Boreos Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Boreos Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Boreos Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Boreos Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero. For those listening in, here with Adrian Autry, Syracuse Orange men's basketball assistant coach, also a former professional player and a former guy that donned orange and blue just a few years back for the Syracuse Orange. So keeping you young, Adrian. So Adrian and I are here once a month at Boreos Restaurant. We're here before Orange Madness now. We talked about the three-point contest. The dunk contest is something that we need to pick up. We need to amp it up a little bit now. We need to get some things going. So we know Rock can dunk the ball. We've seen Roberson dunk the ball before. Obviously, if Daywan was healthy enough to go out there and do something like that, maybe he could throw down a little bit. But what do you think about the dunk contest? I mean, what can we expect from the dunk contest this year?
Well, first of all, do we know who's participating in a dunk contest?
No names?
Okay. Well, I would say, based on practice, Mike Benajay and BJ Johnson might be our two best dunkers. So, hopefully they'll take part in it. Last year I know BJ did, but his adrenaline was so high, he somehow couldn't dunk. But in practice, he does some unbelievable stuff. Kind of like James Sutherland, throwing off the backboard and catching between the legs. All those guys can jump. But BJ and Mike Benajay, I would say if those two guys go and dunk, that should be exciting, because those guys can really get off the floor and bounce.
Well, you gave two people that I don't think anybody expected, so I'm going to start with BJ. What are the best dunks in practice you've ever seen BJ Johnson do?
He just jumps so far. You know, I think most of his dunks, when we, you know, we go do some stuff, he'll just jump from, you know, outside the dotted line. And he's left-handed. A lot of times he likes to dunk with his right hand. So it looks pretty nice. And Mike Benajay is a powerful dunker, just explosive. When he just explodes up to the basket, he just feels like he's going to take the basket off. So you know, he's really explosive. So, but they can jump in the air and turn around and do some dunks as well. So, you know, if they partake in this dunk contest, that should be exciting.
Now, as far as judges for the dunk contest, I think it would be fair if it was you, Jerry, Mike, and Jim judging this contest, but you don't want to do it, so why not?
I don't think it would be fair, because I don't think any of us could ever dunk in our lives, so what do we know about dunking? I know Coach Bayham couldn't dunk, so.
I think it would be nice to get one dunk from Bayham. Put a little trampoline out there, let him go in.
You can go to, what's that new place, Sky Zone, and maybe try to dunk. But, like I said, just a regular dunk is exciting to me because I never could, so I don't know about being a judge.
So we got the dunk contest and the Legends game that's going on, and then another important piece of this Orange Madness is not something that really shows up here on the radar, but that's what song you're going to come out to. And I got to ask this because I'm guessing that everybody picks their song. By Kida came out to Don't Stop Believing. So you came out to Jay-Z last year. So what song can we expect this year? Have you talked to the DJ and figured out what you want to hear?
I'm pretty consistent, so I probably come out to Jay-Z again. Probably. I'm not sure though. My kids, I got a 17-year-old and a 10-year-old. They giving me some songs and some different ideas of songs. But I told them they have to be kid friendly. And if it's not kid friendly, then I'm not coming out to it. I got to hear the lyrics first. So they said no, they're good songs. So tonight I'll go home and listen to what they have for me. They're putting together a tape as we speak. So.
So your kids right now, while we're sitting here, are putting together a mixtape for Adrian Autry on what you could come out to. But some of the guys come out and dance. Some of them show their moves. We've seen it in the past. James Sutherland's done it. A little bit of that. So we've seen that. BJ Johnson, I think, can do some things out there. Rakim Christmas. How come you don't go out there and show any of your moves? I mean, I know you got your four kids, you got your wife, so I know you can dance a little bit, so can we expect anything this year?
Dancing has never been something that I could do. I'm the guy that they say, you know, when you go to the party and he's holding up the wall, that's me. I can bob my head, though. I can bob my head real good, so I'll bob my head when I come out tomorrow. I'll just go. That's about it.
All right, just bob your head and turn to your right and point out to me, so I can recognize the fact that we talked about that tonight.
I think I'm going to point out to everybody, so I got to see everybody.
There you go. You show love to everybody. But Orange Madness, obviously, some people have Midnight Madness. That's what it used to be in certain places. This one is at 8 o'clock, so everybody can come out with their families, enjoy it, have a good time. There's usually a lot of people there. What do you think about Orange Madness? Do you like the fact that there's kind of a jump off for the fans and some of these different things like the three-point contest, dunk contest? I mean, a few years ago, it wasn't all of this. There wasn't a lot going on. It was kind of just get to see the players. So do you like how it's grown so far?
I think it's something that's a part of college basketball. I think it's exciting. It's exciting times because the fans, you know, everybody, the players, you know, revved up for a season. It's become a really big recruiting tool from that standpoint of, you know, having a madness, a tip off to the season, and trying to put together something exciting. And, you know, you get a chance now to get kids up on your campus a little earlier than normal to get a chance to see what, you know, the basketball passion is and how the fans support the teams. Because most of the time, these high school kids, in a couple of weeks, their season starts, so they don't get a chance to get up. So I think it's really cool and it's exciting, and, you know, I like it. You know, it gets, you know, to see the kids get pumped up and get the fans out. And, you know, even with the fans, sometimes, you know, with their schedules, they can't get out. So you can have a night like this where they can get a chance to get out and get close and see a team. And understand that it's still a practice. It's not the season yet, so don't get too upset. But, you know, the Orange Madness and the new way they're bringing the season, I really like it.
And you brought up, obviously, recruiting in the side of it. And I know you obviously can't talk about guys that haven't signed on to anything, but how big of a tool has it been for you in your mind? When you look back on some of the guys that you brought in, how successful was something like Orange Madness in helping you pass that corner and get to where you need to get to?
I believe, for me, you know, the first, not last year, but the first, the 2 years previous to that, I think it did help. I think we had a couple of performances, performing acts, and these kids, you know, whether it's, you know, it's not for the coaches, it's really for the kids, and they look forward to that. And I think the 2 years before that, you know, those were really they had a nice turnout, and I think the kids had like stars in their eyes. They were like, wow, you know. So, you know, I think it helps. I don't think it hurts. It always can help. Again, it gives these kids, these recruits and these kids a chance to see, you know, the support that the basketball team has.
And even on the other side of it, Syracuse football utilizes this as well. They'll have guys that will come out and see Orange Madness, go see a game. What does it mean to you as a Syracuse basketball coach, and what does it say about the Syracuse basketball program that you can pull a football player from Georgia that's playing high school down in Georgia or out in North Carolina or out in Pennsylvania, wherever it may be, to come to a Syracuse basketball game and them seeing you play and just being in the dome with that excitement, even though it's not a football game, has caused some players to want to come here. What does that say to you about your program and how you kind of are the guiding light even for football sometimes?
Well, I think the one thing is that, you know, with the football and basketball, that we both play in the same venue, you know, playing in the Carrier Dome, and, you know, we just have the end zone part of it. So if you can get an end zone loud and excited, you know, you're only going to use your imagination what it is like for a football player at a football game. So I think that helps for sure. And I think, you know, it speaks volumes to what Coach Boeheim has built since he's been here and been successful and steady and building his brand of Syracuse basketball, which is not only, you know, big here, but, you know, nationally, you know, all over the place, and that it can filter over into other sports. You know, and I think, you know, you think Syracuse, you know, you think Jim Boeheim, Carrier Dome, and the city of Syracuse, the fans and support. So, you know, it's good. You know, anytime, you know, when you're at a university and you work together with different sports, all you want to do is try to help each other. And if we can help, you know, the football team and vice versa, you know, that's the better, because at the end of the day, we all work for Syracuse and we're all proud of Syracuse, especially the place that you want. You know, anytime a Syracuse team athletically steps on the court, you want them to be the best.
That coming from Adrian Autry, Syracuse Orange men's basketball assistant coach. We'll take a couple-minute break here once again. Grab your card for Boreos, 10% off at Boreos throughout the football and basketball season, as well as other special opportunities in the community. The card is free, and it's here for you through Wake Up Call with Dan Zatora. Adrian and I will be back in just a few minutes to talk about whether or not he would be for a new stadium being in Syracuse and what he thinks about maybe not playing in the Carrier Dome and what that would mean to Syracuse basketball. We'll talk about that. And we also have to talk about Mr. Tyler Roberson coming up as well as he looks to help lead those forwards into a positive future. That's all coming up on Wake Up Call with Dan Zatora live at Boreo's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, for those listening in. And if you have a question for Adrian, come up and let us know. And we appreciate all the questions that came out from Twitter as well. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Boreo's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Boreo's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Boreo's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Boreo's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Boreo's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Boreo's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Borio's Restaurant, here with Adrian Autry once a month. We're also here with Rob Drummond of Syracuse, football alum, NFL and CFL alum. He's here every single Wednesday night with me weekly, 6 to 8 p.m. Adrian, like I said, here once a month, Syracuse basketball assistant coach, and someone who's about to answer this question for me. That is, are you going to use it? You're right. Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. Adrian is a busy man. He has to take a phone call. Go ahead.
You feel like you've seen every place in Central New York, but unless you've been to Borio's Restaurant, you've never truly seen Central New York the way that it should be seen. No matter what the season, out on Oneida Lake, there is no better view than Borio's Restaurant. From banquets to getting something to eat to Sunday brunch, Borio's Restaurant offers authenticity to Central New York. It offers a difference to Central New York. Whether it's your anniversary or a graduation party, a bridal shower, a wedding, Borio's Restaurant is where people go to have the experiences of a lifetime, with the owners being a part of your meal, being a part of your experience, of your time there. The owners care, the local people that always come back care, and the people that come in from out of state just to have a feel of what Central New York means to them, they care. Go to a place where people care about you, and your experience will never be equaled by any other place. The best view in town is at Borio's Restaurant. Head there now, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. Open Tuesday through Sunday, and remember Sunday brunch. Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, live from Borio's Restaurant, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York. For those listening in, I want to thank everybody that sent their questions over on Twitter. We're also going to address another question that came from Jim that's here tonight. I'm Mike Benigay in just a couple minutes here, and Adrian, you know, I guess that's the part of being rich and famous, you know. You have to run out, you got things to do, I understand, but we were talking about the stadium before. And the thoughts of a new stadium, and there's a couple things that when the information finally came out, I wasn't too happy with what the thought process is about it. But what do you think? I mean, would you be for or against getting a new stadium and taking Syracuse basketball, uprooting it, and putting it somewhere else?
I mean, when you say it like that, then I have to be against uprooting. But you know, my thoughts, which you know, they're my thoughts, is that you know, Syracuse basketball. When you say Syracuse basketball, you immediately think of the Carrier Dome, and it's something that you know you just don't. I'm against it. You know, the Carrier Dome is what Syracuse basketball was. You know, came through. Once it started going, and it's been here for like the last 25, 30 years. I don't see anything wrong with the venue. I think it's a great venue. I think it separates us. There's no on-campus college, you know, arena that can do what we can do. And that's put, you know, 30 or 35,000 people in a dome to watch a basketball game. And I think that separates us, you know, with the Kentuckys and North Carolinas and any of those guys. You know, they have a nice following, nice crowd, but they can't do what we can do. And the Carrier Dome, for me, I think is not even a, it shouldn't even be a thought. It shouldn't even be a thought of moving. And maybe you can enhance it. Maybe you can add some things or do some things like that. But to move out of the Carrier Dome, that's just for me. You know, I can't even think of that. You know, it wouldn't even feel right playing in a different, you know, a venue. In the Carrier Dome.
When you look at some of the things, you know, and Pete Salas, who oversees a lot of the venues on Syracuse's campus, when the HD screens were put in last year and the ribbon board was put in as well, there have been upgrades that have happened to Syracuse, and I think there's the nostalgia of the dome, like you were talking about. At the same time, there is technology that's being pumped into the dome. So when you look at the Carrier Dome right now, I mean, how long do you want something something like this to stick around. I mean, they're upgrading it. On the outside, it'll always look the same. For the most part, well, let's just figure it'll always look the same. But is this a venue that just has to stay current, you know, and always be a part of college basketball? Because to me, when you talk about an arena for college sports, whether it's football or basketball, it's one of the top five, top three that are known in the country. So, I mean, in your mind, as they upgrade inside, I mean, can you ever get rid of something like this? Or, I mean, do you want to see this well after you're retired still sticking around?
I mean, I would like to see it. I would like it, but we all know and things change and, you know, if the conversation is coming up, then you know those are always possibilities that things will change. But just me being, you know, an alum and from a fan, a supporter, or just part of it, you know, not knowing all the other little intricacies that they may be going on behind the scenes, I would love it for the Cary Dome to stay up and continue to enhance it and keep it there. You know, it's like Cary Dome and, you know, Madison Square Garden and the Palestra and, you know, things like that. I think that's what the Cary Dome in college basketball, you know, is one of those venues that, you know, everyone wants to go play it or wants to go play it. Everybody wants to play in the Dome. So, with that being said, I hope that it'll stay around. But again, you know, it's always changed.
How important has the Dome been for you in recruiting to say something like that? I mean, obviously, I've been there in the Dome with you from season to season. Syracuse breaks its own record every year. There's nobody coming close to the record. So Syracuse broke the record of the record of the record of the last record, and probably will break the record when Duke comes in again. There's a chance that that'll happen. So as you see these records continue to be broken, you've been to it and I've been to it, the Elite Eight Sweet 16 games that were in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center, where the Wizards play. Washington Wizards are out there, and Georgetown as well. When you go to the Verizon Center, it tops out at 19,100, 19,200. It was strange to me to say in the middle of the game for the PA announcer to come out and say, congratulate yourselves, you're now part of our sellout crowd of 19,316, when I was at the Dome for 20,000 plus for Binghamton. So, I mean, how much does the venue help recruiting, knowing that you sell out at 35,000 and other places sell out for the NCAA tournament at 19,000?
I mean, again, that's one of the laws of Syracuse basketball is the stage. You know, and we always talk about the stage, and everyone has a stage in college basketball. You have a stage, and there's no stage that's bigger than ours. And I think, you know, kids want to be a part of that. You know, whether it's, you know, playing at Syracuse or having an opportunity to come in and play against Syracuse, you know, the setting, the venue, the stage, the Cary Dome, you got to love it. I mean, it's the biggest stage in college basketball and in pros. You know, I always say, you know, you'll never play in front of this many people ever again. Even if you're making millions of dollars in the pros, you'll never play in front of 30 or 35,000 people.
The other arena that you brought up, Madison Square Garden, Syracuse, it's the home away from home. No matter how you slice it, the orange is comfortable in Madison Square Garden. More comfortable than St. John's in Madison Square Garden. So this year, you're going back to the Garden. And it's going to be a little bit different this year. The 2K Classic is going to start in the Carrier Dome. And it's going to start off the regular season. And then you'll find yourself for two games in Madison Square Garden again. So to start off the season at home and then go to the home away from home, how excited are you as a former player and as a current coach that you'll be back in the Garden where Syracuse has not been since the last Big East tournament?
It's always exciting to go down and play at the Garden, you know, especially for me. I'm from New York City, so that is, you know, home for me as well. Unbelievable venue. Our fans come out. It doesn't matter. St. John's, whoever it is, they come out and they support, and it's just, you know, you get goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps now just thinking about going back down and playing Square Garden, and our kids feed off of it, and they love it, and they get pumped up for it.
When you look back at the best moments that Syracuse has had in the Garden, what are some of those that stick out to you? Are they current? Are they some that come back in the past a few years? What are some of those great moments that you have? Because I know the one of the last moments in the Garden was Syracuse-Georgetown and Syracuse defeating Georgetown after losing twice in the regular season. So obviously that's a moment that means a lot to Syracuse fans. We know that the 6-overtime game is pretty simply, to a lot of people, the best of the best. Is that the one that you would call yourself?
Absolutely. I mean, those two games right there stick out to me the most. And I'm pretty much sure I'm missing some earlier, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. But, you know, as of recent, you know, the overtime game in Connecticut in our last game versus Georgetown in the Big East tournament was, you know, those were really sweet and great memories.
I like the fact that if people weren't looking at you when you said Georgetown, for you to just get the word Georgetown out of your mouth, you look pissed off. I mean, it's something that, I mean, it's ingrained in the history of Syracuse basketball. Pearl Washington, when I talked to him a couple months ago, he told me, and obviously he had his moments with Georgetown, his heated moments with Georgetown, and his moments with Georgetown where he made them know who Pearl Washington is. He told me that he can look past it now. He can shake hands with Georgetown players now, former players. But when that came out of your mouth, there was some bite to it. So when you think of Georgetown, what's the first thing? And remember, this is a family show. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about Georgetown?
We still hate Georgetown.
Say that again.
We still hate Georgetown.
There we go. No, Georgetown is. Georgetown, Syracuse, you know, that's, you know, the Big East. That's what it was built on. It was, I don't think it's a rivalry that's better than that in any, you know, any league, any conference. I grew up watching it, and for some reason, I didn't like Georgetown. So I was always excited to play against those guys, and, you know, they played their part, you know, especially when I was in college. You know, Big John, you know, they had their us against the world mentality and attitude, and, you know, that was fine. You know, but it just wasn't going to happen when you played against the Orange. And I think when you start to think about those battles, you know, I think you have an appreciation for, that series, because no one wanted to lose that one, and it's vice versa. They feel the same way about us. So, it's one of those things that, you know, you wish. You know, I'm excited. Hopefully, I'll be around when we start playing them again, and hopefully, we'll continue our success. But, you know, it's a great series, and, you know, it's just what I grew up on. It just, you know, I didn't like Georgetown.
And when you look at the fact that Georgetown is part of the new old Big East, whatever, you know, it is the Big East, but it's not the Big East, so you can't really call it that, but it is. And then you look at Syracuse and the ACC, we know that there's going to be a future of Syracuse-Georgetown. The question is, will the game feel the same for you? Will the game feel the same in the Dome? Will the game feel the same in D.C.? In your mind, when it's not a conference game, will Syracuse Georgetown still always be Syracuse Georgetown?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, we could be 0-20. We played against Georgetown, I'm going to be happy when we win. So, you know, I think that's always a rivalry. I don't think that'll ever change.
When you look at some of the other rivalries that are staying alive, St. John's as well as Villanova, what are rivalries like that? Obviously not as big as Georgetown, but knowing that you're going back and forth, you're traveling to Villanova, they're coming to you, St. John's, same thing. What does it mean to keep them on the schedule? Because, I mean, you already have a tough schedule in the ACC. I don't think anybody in this room can stand here and say that playing Duke, playing North Carolina, NC State, Louisville, now with Louisville, that, you know, Rick Pitino said he would never follow Boeheim again. We know how that went down. But
I'll try it.
Knowing that the ACC has some of the best of the old Big East, as well as the teams that were already ingrained in the ACC, you have all this top talent you're going up against. You have the fire already being thrust into it. So for Syracuse to keep St. John's, keep Villanova, keep Georgetown, you don't have to do that to yourself, but you are. What does it mean to you to not just have Georgetown, but to keep some of those other rivalries alive and to give fans great games before the conference starts?
Well, I think, again, you know, and Coach Bellingham clearly has a lot to do with these decisions being made, but you know, we played those guys every year for so many years, you know, and no matter what, even though we're in a different conference, you know, I think those games are special. They're special to the St. John's, the Villanova's, you know, the Georgetown's, you know, and they're special for, you know, on all type of levels, you know, the rivalries, the great games, and also, you know, those are recruiting bases for us as well. So it's always good to get a chance to get back and play in those areas. Those areas have been good to Syracuse basketball, you know, Philadelphia, you know, New York City, Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. So, you know, you still want to stay relevant. You still want to be able to get out in those places and play.
I want to go to a question that Jim asked here at Borio's Restaurant, where Wake Up Call with Dan Satora is live with Adrian Autry, Syracuse Orange men's basketball assistant coach, every single month. And the question that Jim had was on Mike Benajet, who came from Duke, transferred over, got some time last year. But what we know about Mike Benajet, when you're at practice, obviously you know, but for me sitting at practice, he can play point guard, he can play shooting guard, he can be a forward for you, he can play multiple positions. And I don't even think, scratched the surface of Mike Benajet last season. What can you say about him this season to answer Jim's question? What can Syracuse fans expect from one of the guys that may be one of the most versatile on the team?
Well, you'll definitely see a much improved Mike Benajet this year. You know, he'll be a bigger part of what we do. Again, he's a guy that can play three positions for us, and he'll play three positions for us. He's just improved overall. I think he's confident. I think he's comfortable now. I think sometimes people forget how hard it is when you come from a situation. When people say transfer, you know, normally when you transfer, you know, it's something that didn't kind of go your way or that way. So you got a little bit of, you know, bad taste in your mouth. You know, sometimes it takes a while to get rid of that, you know, and I think last year, you know, was a good year, and for him to get back into the swing of things, but I know for sure this year he'll be a totally different player. You can see it right now. You know, he's really just, you know, kind of taking over practice for us and being one of our go-to guys on both ends of the floor, you know, not just scoring. When you talk about Mike Benajet, you know, he does so many things on both ends of the floor. Defensively, rebounding, blocking shots, offensively pushing the ball, making plays, making shots. You know, he's a special talent, and I think we'll get a chance to see him this year. You know, get a chance to see the real Mike Benajet.
So we've talked about Caleb Joseph, we talked about Mike Benajet. Trevor Cooney is a guy that comes up a lot. He is in both of the magazines that we have here in front of us right now, College Basketball from Lindy's, as well as Athlon Sports. He is the man that Syracuse is being connected to right now. They're in the top 25. He's ranked the 15th best shooting guard in the country. We know he could shoot the heck out of the ball when he shoots it well. 11 threes against Notre Dame. We know he has tough moments at times, like every player does. We know he can play defense. If you know anything about him from practice, as you know, he can play inside. He can attack the rim. What can we expect from Trevor Cooney? Because this year, more than any other year, Trevor is a huge piece to what you're doing.
Well, I think, you know, Trevor, he can expand his game. I think Trevor understands, you know, that he needed to improve in some areas, and that he's worked on those, and he's showing it in practice, you know, making plays off the bounce and getting to the basket. basketball. So I think you'll see more of that. I think the natural progression, I mean, it's no secret. He's a guy that has to play well for us and knock down shots. But he also is a guy that has to get to the free throw line and make some plays, and he has those abilities. So I think the natural maturation of Trevor Cooney's game and evolving, we'll see him make more plays, you know, besides just catch and shoot the basketball.
What can you say to fans that get frustrated? Because it seems like Trevor, once you know that somebody can shoot three, and it was the same thing with James Sutherland, once you know that a guy can make threes and that that's a key area to his game, if he makes them, it's beautiful. If he misses them, he may get booed by his own crowd. What can you say to fans that maybe want to give up on Trevor for some of the games that he's had in the past season? As you and I both know, Trevor Cooney, there's a lot more to his game than just shooting the three. But what can you say when fans start to get frustrated with a guy like Trevor that obviously has put the team on his shoulder sometimes, and in the Final Four obviously put the team on when he had that last shot that coach didn't even fault him for?
I think sometimes, you know, there's not really too much that you can say. I think as far as saying something to the fans, he has a tough job. You know, when you're the person that, you know, when everybody knows what your strengths are, and you do that, you know, highly well, and they're concentrated on you, and basically when as soon as you cross half court, you got someone just staring in your face. They don't care what else is going on over there. You know, that's tough, and that's frustrating for him as well. You know, so and then sometimes when he does get a shot or an opportunity, he has to take it just because he has to take it, and it may not be the best shot, but he doesn't get a lot of opportunities. So, you know, I think, you know, they need to have patience. Patience is the key. Fans have to try to understand, like, his. Sometimes he's a decoy just because he is. You know, sometimes things happen because he doesn't get a lot of open looks. But, again, Trevor, you know, understood that. He worked really hard this summer, with his ball handling, getting the ball, and creating shooting opportunities for himself. So, and I don't think you'll see that as much this year. He'll do a little bit more of creating for his own self.
Speaking of creating opportunities, Tyler Roberson's one of your guys. Tyler Roberson was someone that got off the bench at times, got some opportunities as a true freshman, but now he's on a team that doesn't have the depth that last year had. So what can you say about Tyler Roberson, what you know from what you've seen? Because this is someone like B.J. Johnson, day in and day out, you are with him and seeing every single piece of his game either go in the right direction, or if he has some of those faults, to correct those. What can you say about the profile of Tyler Roberson right now?
Tyler Roberson is a high-energy guy. He's a, you know, words that come to my mind when you think about Tyler. You know, high energy, relentless, attacking, slashing, you know, hard playing. You know, I liken him to Jeremy Grant, but he's just not as athletic as Jeremy was. But he's that type of player, a guy that's going to go and make some plays happen and rebound the basketball and get out of transition and run. You know, he's really improved. He's improved his shot, and he had a decent shot. But he's really worked on his shot this year. So, you know, from that, you know, I feel very confident in Tyler Roberson. Now, he'll be effective this year. He plays the game the right way. He approaches it the right way. He's a hard-working kid, and he plays with a lot of energy. So Tyler Roberson, you know, I expect him to play really well for us this year.
And to finish up here with Adrian Autry, Syracuse Orange men's basketball assistant coach, with me here live, Wake Up Call with Dan Zatora from Borio's Restaurant. So look at this entire team going into this season. The mission is always, obviously, to win as many games as possible, get through the ACC tournament now, go to the NCAA tournament and make some moves there. But when you look at this team and you look at this season, how would you define it? How do you look at this group of guys and respond to what you know right now as you head in to 2014-2015 and the next chapter of Syracuse basketball?
Well, I approach it every year. You know, last year, at the beginning of the year, you know, we had a lot of freshmen and people that didn't play. Everybody at some point in time didn't know how good we were going to be. And again, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, for me, I stopped trying to make preseason predictions. I'm just kind of waiting to see how the team, you know, takes shape. I think, you know, especially this year, it's going to be more of a collective effort. You know, I don't think it'll be, you know, one particular guy. I think it'll be different guys on different nights. And that's what makes a good team. And I think, you know, no different than any other team. Even like last year, you know, Tyler Ennis had his moments. CJ Fair had his moments. Shelby Grant had his moments. All it is, you know, I think this year it'll just be different names. You know, Tyler Rose didn't have his moments. Mike Berger didn't have his moments. You know, whoever else, you know, steps up. But I think it'll be collective and as a group. But this year, this is going to be done as a group.
Well, obviously, as always, I appreciate you taking the time, Adrian. Adrian Autry here with me, Dan Satora, every single month at Borio's Restaurant. Live with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, 8891 McDonald's Parkway in Cicero, New York, on Oneida Lake for those listening in. I want to thank everybody that was here to listen in, everybody that's listening in right now as well. And obviously for this season, we'll have a lot to talk about as the season progresses and even outside of that. But as always, Adrian, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for talking with the people. And thank you for the hard work that you do. Because like I said, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I'm sitting next to a future head coach somewhere.
Well, thanks again, and it's always a pleasure to be out here and come out to Borio's and spend time with you and us to do our show and mix and mingle amongst the fans, the great support that we have here. So I hope you're right. I look forward to it, and we'll be checking back in a couple of weeks, seeing how things are going during the season. All right?
And appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. And make sure that you pick up your cards before you leave. Thanks, Adrian.